Secret, what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll still do for you.
Impossible, impossible with God.
There is no doubting, and there is no fear. Just put your trust in Jesus, and the answer is sight. Our faith is in Christ Jesus and the power of His might.
Impossible with God.
I like this. Listen now. Jesus is listening and He hears your every prayer. Shake off discouragement and give the Lord your care.
Impossible.
Ask Brother Jim Daly, if you would. Would you come up and lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning, brother? Good to see Brother Jim and Sister Dawn with us. And love to have Brother Jim take us to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. Love you, brother.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the privilege to gather here. Father, we're thankful for this nation, that we can have the freedom to worship You openly. Father, so many people throughout the world do not have that privilege today. Father, I pray that we'll always be mindful of Your grace, what You've given to us. And I pray that You'll bless this service this morning. I pray You'll be with our pastor as he brings a message. Be with Brother Allen as he leads the singing. Bless the choir. And I pray that everything done will be for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Jim. I want to say good morning to everyone and welcome to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. And it's an honor and privilege to be here, number one, but number two, to have you here. And it's been a good week this past week, been a long week, been a challenging week for especially the Palmer family and the Sikorskis and the home going to Miss Sharon, and her funeral services were this past Tuesday. And I want to say something about that service. If anybody was there from the church, you know there had to have been at least 1,000 people there. We had a park up top at the church nearby, right beside the funeral home there. And, I mean, it was standing room only. And what a testimony left behind there for the family. So just remember them in days ahead. And we had a wonderful time Tuesday evening at Florida Road Baptist Church. And I know Brother Allen would like to say a couple things about that, so we'll leave that for him. Nonetheless, it's Sunday, and we've come into God's house to hear from Him, to praise Him through song, through the message. And my prayer this morning is that we will just allow our hearts and minds to be open to receive what He wants to say. We're going into a brand new week, and no doubt each and every one of us has things on our planner and our schedule to do. And it's easy at times, especially on Sundays, for some reason, it's easy to allow those things to just twist up in your mind. And all that does is just block God from speaking to us. So this morning, let's give it all to Him and allow Him to speak to us. And let us be changed this morning for His honor and His glory. Just a couple things, and we're going to give it to Brother Allen. Please remember, this is our one of our newest members, Miss Mary Kelly. She's right up here in the choir. But continue to remember her granddaughter. She has leukemia, and there's a certain type of leukemia she has, but let's remember her in prayer. Let's also remember a couple more family members she has that is near the pathway of Hurricane, whatever his name is, Dorian. But she's already claimed it, and I claimed it with her, that it's going to miss her relatives. So, but we pray a blanket prayer over all of those people down there that's in the pathway of Dorian, that it will go elsewhere. Let's remember that. Remember Brother Rusty Watkins, September 24th. He's going to have a sinus surgery. And Brother Harold Doff this morning, he's has some issues with his eye, and he has some complications at the doctor. He has to have an MRI on his eye. And so let's remember Brother Harold. He's been through enough already. So like many of you have, let's remember him. And again, it's good to be here this morning. Let's just worship the Lord and allow Him to have His will and His way. Brother Allen.
Why would you stand with me, church?
You will stand with me this morning. And I'll tell you what, let's take a hymnal, turn over to page, I believe it's 139. Page 139. Everyone stand, take a hymnal, turn to 139. Let's sing At Calvary. Notice the words this morning as we sing together on the first. Here we go.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. My burdens all my liberty at Calvary.
so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And if you are visiting with us, you are our special guest, and we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship today. And I do want to say a little something about Tuesday evening. What a great, great service and a great time that we had. And you wouldn't have known the choir on Tuesday night. Amen. The Jubilee Choir over there Tuesday night was awesome. They did such a tremendous job. God blessed us in a mighty way. A great message from Brother Craig Edwards. And just a great moving of the Holy Spirit. And let me say, church, for those of you that came and supported us, we want to thank you so much. It was such a blessing to look out there and see some of our folks. And I just want to thank you for that. And I do know that many of you had a very long day. I told the choir this morning. A very long day Tuesday. Some of you were there for the visitation and then for the service. And then to come over and to be a part of the service with us on Tuesday evening there at Floyd Road. I want to thank you. God bless you, and I love you, and I appreciate you very much, and I appreciate your support, and it was a great time. Please remember September the 15th, that's right around the corner, that is homecoming, and we're going to be getting ready for that, and it's going to be a little different this year. Normally, we would have invited a big group to come in and sing that day, but we have Pastor and I have gotten together, and we have a little bit of a different plan this year, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to share our talent that day, Calvary's church and choir and some of our talent here at the church is going to sing that day. That's going to be our special music. And we don't ever get a chance to do that. So we're going to pull some of our folks together and we're going to have some special music on that day. And we're looking forward to a great time. I understand we have a special guest speaker coming in. You may have heard of him. His name is the Reverend Snyder Turner. And he'll be here on that day, and we're looking forward to that. We won't have a Bible study that morning. I believe we're starting service at 10:30, and that's always what we do. So no Bible study on the 15th that morning, and Brother Snyder will be coming to be with us. That'll be a great time, and we're going to have some great singing, great music, and choir. If you'll be here with me today at 5, we'll be making some preparations toward that. But invite folks to come. There'll be a great day, a lot of food. That gets your attention, and fellowship. Amen. And the word and some music. It'll be a great day in the house of the Lord. There'll be no evening service that day. So come and have a great day in the house of the Lord on the 15th. We look forward to that. But let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Yes. And youth service has been moved to the 29th on the PM service, the 29th. So please remember that. September the 29th for our youth service. So please mark that in your calendars. That's a little bit different for this month. So please remember that on the 29th. Let's go to him in a word of prayer. Ask him to be with us this morning. Pray for God's blessing on the offering as well. Brother Don Nettles, would you lead us as we pray?
Thank you.
Old Testament this morning, book of Numbers. Numbers chapter number 13. Book of Numbers chapter number 13 this morning. And trust in the blood. We trust in His blood for eternal security in heaven. We trust in His blood in the sense that our sins are gone, past, present, and future. And we're going to trust His blood from here on out, moving forward. Where would we be without the blood of Jesus? Book of Numbers, chapter number 13. Let's bow for a brief word of prayer, and then we will introduce the message this morning. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, we're thankful for what our hearts have felt already. We're thankful for a safe place to worship. All of the little things, God, that so many times are overlooked, but we're thankful, Lord, for the little things. And Father, I pray for the next few moments that You would use me as Your servant. I pray, Lord, that my words, or Your words, would be my words, and they would be communicated to the hearts of Your people. Let us all be encouraged by the time we leave this morning. A little more light for our path, a little more hope in our hearts. We love You, we thank You, and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. The Old Testament book of Numbers this morning in chapter number 13. God had commissioned Moses in verse number 1 and 2 to send 12 men into Canaan land to search it out, to see the conditions before entering in for possession. He said in verse number 1 of chapter 13, book of Numbers, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." And we see that Moses did that. And he elected in verse number 4, down to verse number 16, one man per tribe. And so there were 12 men that were going into the land of Canaan strategically. They were going to spy it out and see the conditions so they would know the kind of approach to take while entering in. But verse number 26 is going to be my text verse this morning, because they returned after 40 days with some things they encountered upon their return and giving of their report. Look in verse 26. "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and to the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh." And notice this phrase, "and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation." I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments on this subject, things encountered while living for Jesus. Things encountered while living for Jesus. Now, these 12 men encountered some things over in Canaan land as they were spying it out. And that was the whole point anyway. The objective from God to Moses to the men was to come up with an approach to get in there, to possess what God had given them. But while they were there for 40 days, they encountered some things. Now they were bringing back word as to what they encountered. And I want to say this morning that while living for Jesus, we too will encounter some things. And what are the things that they encountered? What do we encounter? Well, I just want to draw some parallels and try to glean some things from what they encountered. And I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to all of us this morning. Number one, if you notice in verse number 23 and 24, they encountered blessings. In verse number 23, the Bible says, "And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes." And they bear it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Verse 24. The place was called the brook Eschol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. Number one, they encountered blessings. The Bible says in these two verses that they found grapes there. And I believe that these grapes testified of the blessings in Canaan land, the blessings that God had for them in Canaan land. And so there were grapes and there were pomegranates, but the very name of Eschol means cluster of grapes. And this testified of the blessings that was there in Canaan land. I want to say this morning that there are blessings upon blessings when you follow Jesus. Two primarily type of blessings you'll find in the Christian life. Number one, there are spiritual blessings in the life of a Christian. But then number two, there are conditional blessings. You say, what's the difference? Well, hold your place here in Numbers. Go to the New Testament, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. In Ephesians chapter number 1, you will find spiritual blessings that are concrete. In other words, these blessings that I'm getting ready to read to you, these spiritual blessings that are concrete, has nothing to do with performance as a child of God. But these are given to the child of God at the new birth. The moment that a person gets saved and accepts Jesus as their personal Savior, these spiritual blessings are given to them. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3, Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And so he calls them spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Heavenly places, or the word heavenly here, it has the idea that they're heavenly in nature. They're heavenly in nature. They relate to heaven. They pertain to heaven. And so there are some spiritual blessings. He says, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Look at verse number 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. One spiritual blessing is that we were chosen. God has chosen us to be his children. Look at number 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Look at the word adoption for a moment. There's a difference between being born into a family and adopted into a family. Now, both are a blessing, but there's a difference here. When a person is born into a family, while they're part of the family. But when a person is adopted into a family, that means somebody has sought them out, has seen them, and handpicked them. The Bible this morning tells us that one of the spiritual blessings of being a believer is that God handpicked us. I want to say that adoption is a blessing this morning. When kids get adopted, it's a tremendous blessing. But listen, being born into a family is a blessing. But being adopted into a physical family is a blessing as well. That means because you were sought out, you were handpicked, you were wanted, and someone reached out and embraced you in love. This morning, a spiritual blessing that's to be found when you're living in Jesus, it's a blessing that's concrete, that's given to us, not based upon performance, has to do with adoption. Jesus came by your way and handpicked you. Jesus came by your way and sought you out, and you answered to the call of salvation, and you now belong to him. Adoption. chosen, verse number 4. Look at verse number 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Has anybody here ever been rejected in your life? Has anybody ever has rejected you? And, I don't want you. You're not needful. You'll never be anything. Well, the Bible tells us that we have been accepted. Nobody loves you this morning. You feel like nobody cares. I want to say that Jesus cares. He wants you. He wants to adopt you. He wants to accept you. We're accepted in the Beloved. And this is something that's concrete that will never change. A spiritual blessing, being accepted. But verse number 7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We have redemption. We have forgiveness. And listen, we can find and search the Scriptures, especially in Romans chapter number 5 and those first few verses, that we have blessing on top of blessing on top of blessing when it comes to spiritual blessings in the life of the believer. These are spiritual blessings. There are things that are given to us at the new birth. They're not based upon our performance. We have them. We will always be accepted in Christ. We will always be a child of God. We will always be forgiven of our sins, past, present, and future. Look at verse number 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. We have an inheritance. Look at verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. You say, what does that mean? Well, back in verse number 13, the Bible says we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In verse 14, talks about that He is, or which is the earnest. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. The word earnest means pledge money. It means security. A security deposit. It means pledge money. And so when we were saved, the moment we got saved, God gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is pledge money. The Holy Spirit is security. It's just like whenever you buy a house or rent a house, whatever the deal is. There's the earnest money involved. And the earnest money is good as being bought. You are saying that I am serious about the purchase of this property. So here's money down. I'm coming back and I'm going to receive this property and I'm going to move in and it's going to be my dream home. Purchase money. That's what the Bible says that we have in Jesus through the Holy Spirit. He was given to us. We are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. In verse 14 says, He is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. We have an inheritance in heaven, and Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit as pledge money that one day we'll receive our inheritance in its entirety. So we have spiritual blessings this morning. Concrete things. Things that were given to the believer at salvation. What about those conditional blessings? Turn back to Numbers if you would. Book of Numbers, chapter number 13. There's conditional blessings. Keep in mind that these men, when they came back, they had a report to give. They encountered some things. They encountered grapes. In verse number 23, verse number 24, and look in verse number 26, our text verse. Look at that last phrase. He says, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. They encountered blessings, these grapes. And we know that these grapes testified of God's blessings. And we know they're spiritual blessings, but what about those conditional blessings? There are conditional blessings in the life of a believer. You see, God's plan and God's place and God's purpose for the children of Israel was Canaan land. And that's where the provision was. That's where the blessing was. And by the way, Canaan land is not a picture of heaven. It's a picture of the Spirit-filled Christian life. Canaan land. God wanted them to possess the land of Canaan. And so God had a place of fulfillment for them, where provision and peace were found. But on the contrary, this is a conditional blessing. Because if we're living our life anything short or anywhere short than where God wants us to be, then we're not going to be fulfilled with His conditional blessing. You see, the best place for us to be is in the will of God. I like what Brother Craig said Tuesday night. It's not a mystery where the will of God is. It's not some big foggy, stumbling block that's in front of you. No, the will of God is there. If we get in this book and then we pray and we seek the Lord with all of our heart, I like what Brother Craig said. He said, the will of God will chase you down. But you see, there's a time and place in life where if we stop our striving toward God and His goodness and going after Him, we will fall short of the conditional blessing. Remember what Joshua said? He said, for as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, you got three choices. He says, you can go back to the way it was on the other side of the flood, the Jordan River. You can go back. He said, you can stay put in the land of Canaan and not fight and just put up with the Amorites, the Midianites, and all of their false idols and just become one with them. He said, or you can move on. You can go into Canaan land. You can tear down those idols and take out the enemy and fight for that and strive for that and experience the fulfilled Christian life. And so this morning, when it comes to living for Jesus and things encountered, there are some blessings encountered. There are conditional blessings. Those conditional blessings has to do with choices we make. Then there are spiritual blessings. And those are given to us at the new birth. There's a second thing they encountered this morning. Not only they encountered blessings, but also they encountered big battles. Look in verse number 33. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. They encountered big battles. They encountered giants. Listen, friend. In the life of a Christian, in our life, as we're living for God and we're striving to be used of Him and all of those things, we will encounter big battles. The Bible says there were giants in the land. I want you to notice something. These giants speak and testify and picture the wiles of the devil. I'll tell you why. Notice again in verse number 33. He said, and there, notice this next word, or the next two words, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. The giants created fear in the hearts of God's people. They saw the giants. I want you to notice something else. Look in verse number 32. Back up a verse in verse number 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Notice this. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. That's just not a true statement. All the people were not giants. It was just the sight. In fact, they were in a place called Hebron. The sons of Anak, they were there. And because the sight of those giants, they just said across the dashboard, they're all giants over there. Now, look with me. Go back to verse number 22. They ascended by the south and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmia, the children of Anak, were. Now, Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Did you get that? In verse number 22, he said that the children of Anak were in Hebron. But the statement that these men gave, this report said that all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. Listen, while battling big battles in our life, when giants come, it has a crippling effect upon us if we're not careful. It has a way of creating fear. And the men here, they said, man, the whole land is filled with giants. Not so. Not so. You see, on surface level, it seemed one way. But in all reality, it was a total different way. One person said, fear is the greatest thing to fear is fear itself. I mean, listen, they were giants, yes. But these men, at least 10 out of 12 of them, they had their eyes fixed on the giants and their problems. And so many times in life, listen, there's so many things going on in life. Jesus is doing a lot of things, but we focus sometimes on those big things and what we can't do and how defeated we are. They have a way of creating fear in our hearts. Number one, fear impaired their vision. I just read to you the verses, verse number 33, 32, and 22. It impaired their vision. The land wasn't filled with giants. Sometimes in life when we're trying to be responsible with our families and trying to go to church regularly and serve the Lord, we face and we have battles with giants, don't we? And sometimes if we focus on those battles, how many they may be in our life, one or two, something so great in stature and big, it creates fear and it impairs our vision. And we start feeling like that there's no hope, there's no use. It impaired their vision. But fear imparted hopelessness. Notice if you would in verse number 31. He said, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Let me ask you a question. That giant you're facing or giants you're facing in your life this morning, do you feel hopeless over that giant? Do you feel hopeless over the giants in your life? If you do, maybe it's because fear has clouded your vision. Maybe you just need to get a fresh glimpse of how great and mighty God is. Because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's just the God we serve. But fear, the fear of these giants, it impaired their vision. It imparted hopelessness. They said, it's over. Is that what you're saying about your life this morning? It's over? Well, you came to church for a reason. Must not be over. And maybe the Lord has created a spark of hope in you that it's not over. That's why you're here this morning. But yet you're facing giants. Listen, you should not live in a place of hopelessness. Because greater is He that's within you than he that's in the world. Fear impaired their vision. Fear imparted hopelessness. But fear invoke thoughts of the past. Look at chapter 14, in verse number 1. Fear invoked thoughts of the past. Chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? You see, because of these giants, it created fear. And this fear invoked thoughts of the past. Because of the things they were facing, they were thinking, man, did we really have it that bad in Egypt? Was it really that bad being a slave in Egypt? Yes. It was way worse in Egypt. It was terrible in Egypt. But the reality is, because of these giants, and because that it impaired their vision, and because it imparted hopelessness, it invoked thoughts of the past. Look back at chapter number 11 for a moment. Look at verse number 4 through 6. Numbers 11, 4 through 6. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? Look at verse 5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Yeah, you remember those things, but there was a price to pay. A life of bondage. Verse number 6, But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Listen, some things that are encountered while living for Jesus are big battles. And there's giants that we face. Sometimes day by day we face giants at times. And these giants, they create fear if we let them. And they impair our vision. The fear imparts hopelessness. But if we're not careful, the devil, the wiles of the devil, these giants can provoke us or invoke us to think about the past. And so the children of Israel, they were thinking about the past, how good they had it being a slave in Egypt. The garlics, the melons, yeah, but what about the hard days of bondage? What about the whips, and what about the blood, and what about the days of dirtiness and not being able to live a life of peacefulness? Whatever giant you're facing this morning, it's in no comparison to going back to the way things were before salvation. God is our helper. God will help us overcome. God is preparing us today with the giants we face for the giants of tomorrow. David says that the Lord is teaching my hands how to fight. God is teaching all of us how to fight, but it takes a giant to know how. And then when we have victory over giants in our life, it produces much more faith in our life. And our faith has now been refined, and we're ready to progress to the next level in our Christian life and our relationship with the Lord. So they encountered big battles. There were giants in the land. They encountered blessings. There were grapes in the land. But then lastly, there was a third thing encountered, and that was they encountered bleak believing. Again in verse number 33. There we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. Notice this. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. They encountered bleak believing. They viewed themselves as little helpless grasshoppers. I would say that they had a false view of themselves. because of how they viewed themselves. They said we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. What's the correct view? You see, because of how they viewed themselves distracted them, and their minds were on the giants, which created fear, and now they were demobilized. And so they said that we were in our own sight. They had a false view of themselves. What's the correct view that a Christian should have of themselves? A heavenly view. Look in chapter number 14, verse 6 through 9. I want to give you the minority report. Two out of 12 had a good report. Joshua and Caleb. Look what he says in verse 6, chapter 14. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. Okay, everybody knew that. Verse number 12, or verse number 8, he says, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Verse number 9, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. You hear that positivity? We're not bread for them. They're bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. The minority report from Joshua and Caleb says, we can do it. We can overcome because of who we are. Yeah, we're nothing. We're insignificant. We can't face these giants. We can't win these battles, but God can. He says we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so 10 out of 12 was the majority report, but the minority report from Joshua and Caleb was, we can do it. Fear ye not. This is our land. That's our house over there in Canaan. Get them people out of our house. Let's go in to obtain our house. There's an eviction notice we need to deliver. It's time for them to move out because we're moving in. Joshua and Caleb, I want you to notice something, just a little side note. Look in verse number 38. Because of their negativity, the 10 from 12 did not make it. And because of the positivity of Joshua and Caleb, they did. Verse 38 says, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. There is a strong connection by being positive linked to surviving. Strong connection by being negative that's linked to death. Negativity, darkness, hopelessness, depression, defeat, discouragement is under all the same umbrella of negativity. And so these men, Joshua and Caleb, they were positive. And because they were positive, they lived. Let us be a positive people. Let us tell people, listen, yes, there is a hell to shun, but there's a heaven to gain. Yes, there's battles in the Christian life, but we have one that's within us to overcome. Let's be positive people this morning. Well, we see that they encountered bleak believing. They felt as though they were grasshoppers in verse 33 of chapter 13. And so the correct view would be a heavenly view. Let me mention this. Judges, don't turn there, I'll give it to you. Judges 6:12. Gideon was in the winepress threshing wheat because of fear of the Midianites. And he was in that place of fear mode. He wanted to gather and keep supplies so that that would not be besieged. Jesus or God, a pre-visit of the Lord showed up in Judges 6:12 and spoke to Gideon and said this. At least audibly he said this. Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. You see, God's view of Gideon was not Gideon's view of Gideon. Gideon was in a fear mode. He was in fear mode and he was trying to hide from the enemy. But God said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. In life, our view differs from God's view. In Judges 6, same chapter, verse 14, listen to this. God told Gideon after Gideon was having some questions. God said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And what that simply means is, I'm going to give you some strength to go in, and the strength you're to go in is the very fact that I've sent you. You go in that strength. And I want to say that in the Christian life, some things we encounter bleak believing, but it leads us to believing in the fact that God has sent us into the world to preach the gospel. And God has given us purposes, and He is unfolding His plan. And whatever big battles we face, we need to know that God views us as mighty men and women of valor, and that God has sent us, and we need to go in that energy that He has sent us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Then Romans 8:37 gives gives word of being more than conquerors. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And then in 1 John 4:4, the Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. They had bleak believing. Sometimes in the Christian life, we will get to that place while following Jesus. We encounter the carnality of our, the weakness of our human flesh, and we struggle with that, and we have giants in our life, and we fear those giants at times, and it impairs our vision. But let us this morning believe that minority report from Joshua and Caleb. Let us believe that's our land. God does have a Spirit-filled, Christian-fulfilled life for us. All that we have to do is go in to possess it. Yes, there's giants. Yes, we're small. But God has blessings in store for those who go after Him. Heavenly Father, we love You and we thank You this morning. I pray, Lord, that You'd use the message. We've done our best to reach the hearts of Your people. And I pray, Lord, that if we may face any giants this week, or maybe there's some standing giants even now, that we would turn our eyes from ourselves onto You, Lord, who is all-sufficient, who has provision. Just some things encountered while following Jesus. A lot of blessings, a lot of battles, but I'm glad that we can have the right kind of view, and that is, You're here to conquer through us. We love You, and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. The altars are open. If you need to come, you come.